not remember this?
You never mentioned it again, and you conveniently forgot that he'd approached you before. Very convincing.
I sighed. Jesus, why was he so ready to assume the worst of me? I couldn't believe I was having this conversation with Hayden. Hadn't he told me he'd never felt the way he did about me before? Didn't that count for anything? Didn't he trust me? I even told you he convinced me that I'd given him some information that I shouldn't have because he kept peppering me with questions and I was trying to dodge them. I told you he said I'd confirmed that you were on the yacht.
So you admit you told him. What other information did you give him?
No. Had I? I don't think so, but it all happened so fast and my head was everywhere. If you remember, we hadn't had much sleep the night before, and the guy caught me off guard. Maybe I didn't refute it, or maybe by refuting it, I confirmed it for him. I don't know. Hayden shook his head. He clearly didn't believe a word that came out of my mouth.
So this guy approached you a third time, even though he knew by then that it was futile? What happened the third time you met him?
My heart sank, and guilt crawled across my skin. I tipped my head back and stared at the ceiling. That's when he offered me $150,000 to feed him information about the deal you were working on.
Wow, Hayden said. $150,000. $5,000 just wasn't enough. I guess we know your price now.
Anger pushed through my guilt and erupted. Why did he just assume I'd taken it? I hadn't done anything. I'd been tempted for a second. I thought about it. That money would have meant as much physical therapy as my brother needed, and it might have meant a different life for me. At the very least, it would have meant breathing space, room to pause. I pushed out of my chair and leaned over the desk. He was being so harsh and unfair. This wasn't the man I'd given my body to. He wasn't the man I thought he was. You're an asshole, I replied. I didn't take his money. You're still working on your deal, aren't you?
Yeah, despite you.
His words were nasty, but his tone was flippant as if I were in irritation. Surely if I'd told him, then someone else would have bought the precious company, that guy who hated your dad. He folded his arms.
I have no idea how your mind works or what your plans are. I hope it was worth it. You sold your character, your soul, for that money.
You think if I had $150,000 I'd stick around here to get caught? I'd have taken the next flight out.
There's no point in denying it, Avery. I found the phone and the guy's business card under your bed. The same phone you're being given here.
He tapped the photo with his finger. What the hell? How had he gotten that phone? I'd stashed the phone and the business card, unsure of what to do with them. You've been in my room?
You should try harder to hide stuff if you don't want people finding them.
You've been through my things? Who are you? Jesus, how long had Hayden had suspicions about me? Had he fucked me despite them or because of them? I shivered, uncomfortable in my skin. I needed to get out of there. Fuck you. I didn't take the money. If I had, my life would be a lot better right now. My brother's life would be a lot better. I'm not that girl. I wouldn't have done it to anyone, but especially not to you. Not the way I felt about you. I straightened and took him in, still so handsome, but this wasn't the man I'd shared so much with. That man would know I couldn't ever take money for selling someone out. You think you're isolated on this yacht in the middle of the sea? It's your suspicions, your mistrustful heart that isolate you. I'd rather lose every dollar I have than live like that, trusting no one, loving no one, having no one love me. You might end up with an empire and more money than God, but take a look around and you'll see all the backs of the people who loved you who you turned away. Had all these weeks been a lie? Was he pretending to be someone he wasn't? I shook my head. I didn't take that money. I know that. And the man I kissed under the fireworks all those weeks ago knows it too. I don't recognize the man standing in front of me, and I don't want to know you. He'd believe what he wanted. Resignation took hold. I wasn't going to win this battle. I'd known as soon as I got back to the yacht that I could never betray Hayden like that. I'd paid a high price for my character because either way I was guilty, either of betraying Hayden or my brother. Even now, with Hayden accusing me of taking the money, I didn't regret my decision, but I did regret having put so much on the line for him. I'd been a fool. I pulled open the door and left, and Hayden didn't try to stop me. As I slammed the door behind me, I let out a breath, trying to stop myself from screaming out loud at the injustice of it all. For a second, I thought I'd found someone. The one. For a moment, I'd imagined a life full of fun and love and happiness, rather than duty and burden and sacrifice. My heartbeat scattered in my chest and all of a sudden disappeared, as if my heart had simply given up the fight. Chapter 31. Avery.
All crew, this is the captain. Meeting in the galley immediately.
The anticipated announcement echoed out from my waistband as August and I folded towels in the laundry room. It was Captain Moss's call to the post-charter meeting, where the captain brought up any concerns he had about our performance as a team and then distributed the tips. Hayden had left the charter yesterday, the day after our argument in his office over the photos. I hadn't seen him again. I couldn't bring myself to leave my room while he was still on board. I didn't want to be reminded of the anger in his voice or the mistrust in his glance. Skylar had found me crying and told me to stay in bed. She didn't ask any questions, and I hadn't argued with her. Even I wasn't able to paint a professional smile over my broken heart. I needed to piece myself back together, and now Hayden was gone, it might be possible. I really hope this tip is decent, 10% at least. I know we didn't have a whole lot to do, but 8 weeks is a long time to have a shitty tip. August's words came in and out of focus for me. I was exhausted. Emotionally, physically, every kind of tired. We made our way through the narrow corridor to the galley, and I slid into the banquette, the last to sit for the all-crew meeting. Now that Hayden's charter had finished, the energy on board had ratcheted up, and everyone's voice was a little louder, their smiles a little wider. On the other hand, I felt as if I was coming out of a fog. I knew the people around me, but still felt as if there was a wall between us, that we were in different worlds.
Beers?
Neil asked, opening the fridge. Charter was officially over if we were drinking. Yeah, I'll take one, I said. Alcohol couldn't make me feel worse. Are you sure you should? Skylar asked. Is your stomach better? I hadn't been there to see Hayden off the boat. It was the first time I'd ever not said goodbye to a departing guest, but I just couldn't bear it. My professional mask had crumbled, and I wasn't sure I would have been able to hold it together. I was angry that he thought I'd betrayed him, but ashamed by the fact I'd taken the phone and card, that I hadn't told him and possibly avoided everything that had come after. My heart ached at the thought of never seeing him again, but my head told me things ending this way would probably be easier. There were no what-ifs or what-could-have-beens. Since our first kiss, I tried hard not to think about what would happen when Hayden left the yacht. Although he told me he wanted things to continue between us after he left, I knew the logistics, as he'd put it, were difficult. He was based in London with commitments and a business to run, and my job made a long-distance relationship almost impossible. Any time I had off, I spent in Sacramento. As much as I might wish it were otherwise, the likelihood of Hayden and I existing outside this yacht was almost none, even before he'd accused me of being a corporate spy. But now, none of that was even a fantasy. He thought I'd betrayed him, and through his assumptions and accusations, I knew he'd betrayed me. I'd risked my career for him. I'd put my brother's care at risk for him. And yet he'd turned on me in an instant. He'd made up his mind about those photographs before he'd even asked me about them, and then assumed I was lying. Captain Moss entered the kitchen, and all eyes gravitated toward the 10 brown envelopes he held in his hands. I should care more than I did. The tips I earned this season were all allocated to my brother's health insurance premiums. I knew that whatever was in that envelope, it wouldn't be enough to cover the additional expenses.
No real issues on this trip, Captain Moss said as he sat down. But we've not been tested. This was a very easy charter for everyone apart from Avery. You feeling better?
He asked me. I nodded. Yeah, it must have been something I ate, I said, flashing my best fake grin at Neil. I threw up, but feel fine now.
Cheeky, Neil said. You worked hard.
Captain Moss said, lifting his chin in my direction. Guilt unfurled in my stomach. If he only knew what had been going on between Hayden and me, I'd betrayed too many people for someone who wasn't worth it.
You're a good girl, Avery.
From anyone else, a statement like that might have been condescending, but at that moment it was exactly what I needed to hear. I wanted to be a good person. I needed to be a good girl, because if I wasn't, why hadn't I just taken the money and helped my family?
You should have plenty of energy for our next guests who arrive next week.
He dealt out the envelopes to each of the 9 crew members.
We want to keep the bar high. We got a 15% tip. Anything less for this next one will be a disappointment.
The crew gasped as they peered into their bulging envelopes. It was at the top end of what tips normally were, and because charters were usually shorter, none of us were used to having so much money handed to us at once.
No room for complacency, Moss continued. Go have fun tonight, but tomorrow I want every one of you up on deck at 10 sharp. We've got to get this boat looking like it's brand new. No excuses.
Captain Moss stood and headed back to the wheelhouse, leaving the rest of the crew to make plans for the evening. Why plans were necessary, I wasn't sure. We always did the same thing. Drink as much as possible, dance, and find someone to make out with. But making out with anyone wasn't in the cards for me, and a new charter was the last thing I needed. The idea of seeing other people where Hayden and I had shared so much seemed wrong. Even though things had ended badly, I didn't want to erase it. I just wanted the pain of not having him to drift away. I wasn't sure that would ever happen, but I knew new guests wouldn't help. Neither would vodka. Want to come and help me pick out an outfit for tonight? Skylar asked. I shrugged and followed her out of the kitchen. That pink dress you showed me the other day would be nice, I said, trying to act as if my world hadn't turned upside down and inside out. I followed her into her small cabin that she shared with August, and she shut the door behind us. Are you okay? She asked. You don't look okay. I'm fine, I said, taking a seat on August's bed, tipping my head so I didn't knock my head on Skylar's bunk. So, what happened with you and Hayden? Are you going to see each other again? I hadn't expected her question. We'd not discussed me and Hayden since our conversation in the laundry room. No, of course not. Of course not. She squinted at me as she hitched up her leg and sat on August's bed. You must have been in love with him. Why wouldn't you want to see him again? Her statement hit me like a punch to the gut. In love with him? I clutched at my stomach, trying to find my breath, disoriented and dizzy. Why would you think I was in love with him? It couldn't be true, could it? I couldn't have fallen in love with a man who thought I was capable of betraying him for money, someone who clearly didn't know me at all. My limp body and my aching heart suggested otherwise. Avery, you're not that kind of girl. You wouldn't have risked everything you've worked so hard for just to get laid by a pretty face. She sighed, and a grin curled at the edges of her mouth. Although he did have a mighty pretty face, and a gorgeous ass, and I swear, one time the breeze lifted his shirt and I got a look at... She stopped as I fixed her with a glare. I'm just saying that to have put all that on the line, he must have meant a great deal to you. I swallowed. I couldn't love him, could I? I couldn't love a person who treated me so cruelly. I wanted to scream at the top of my lungs. Why was everything so fucking unfair? I didn't want to be in love with a man who'd left me so easily. But of course she was right. Of course I loved him. Or a version of him, at least. I loved the way he seemed to want to peel back my layers and know my deepest, darkest thoughts, the way he was so driven and determined that sometimes he'd forget the time of day and the day of the week, but still kept the perspective that his brother had a job far more worthy. I loved the man who was the best man I'd ever known. I would never have risked everything for anything less. But it didn't matter what he'd meant to me. He'd hurt me. Despite what he thought, he was the one who'd betrayed me. I squeezed my eyes shut, willing myself not to cry. He's gone now. It doesn't matter. You should totally call him. You swapped numbers, right? I shook my head. We had a huge fight. It's done. Tell me what happened. Skylar pulled me into a hug, and I let her. I needed someone to show me they cared in that moment. I explained Hayden's accusations to Skylar and explained what really happened. Talking about it was like putting a period at the end of the relationship. I could no longer pretend to myself that things were different, that what he'd accused me of had just been some big mistake, and that he'd be back soon begging my forgiveness. It was done. I'd never felt that irresistible pull that I had toward Hayden for anyone else. I couldn't imagine I ever would again. No one would be able to pin me to the spot with just a look, rile me up to the point of almost coming with just a kiss. No man would ever make me feel as if it was an honor for me to share the weight of my responsibility with him. Even just talking to Hayden about my family had helped lift the burden slightly. People like Hayden Wolf came around once in a lifetime. Things might have been different if I'd never taken that phone and business card. Maybe then we might have found a miraculous way through the distance and contradictory lives and lifestyles, but the chance for miracles was over. Now, I had to focus on what I should have always put first, my family.
Chapter 32. Hayden. The driver opened the passenger door. I dipped my head to get in, then groaned at the sight of my brother. I hope you're here to tell me good news. Welcome home, brother. I thought I'd meet you at Heathrow, as I knew you'd be so pleased to see me. I've had quite enough of you at the moment, especially after a commercial flight. I was exhausted. Christ, you poor bastard! You had to fly commercial from your superyacht. Did the world run out of private jets? I pressed my lips together, trying not to let him see the grin threatening at the corners of my mouth. And I presume you came with news. I found your leak, he said, as he pressed his thumb against the side of his tablet, his fingerprint bringing it to life. About time. I thought I wasn't going to be able to go back to my office. It was Gerald, he said simply. I recoiled. I thought that having an offshore account wasn't conclusive. How can you be sure? As financial controller for Wolf Enterprises and right-hand man to my finance director, he would have a lot of access to a lot of information. Because I'm that good. It's taken you nearly 8 weeks. You're not that good. What can I say? He covered his tracks well. We had to wait for him to make a mistake. Prove it to me. When he'd told me about Avery, I'd refused to believe it until I'd seen the evidence for myself. And even after I'd found the phone and the business card, I still went ashore to see the photographs for myself. When I'd confronted her, her explanations were a little too polished. She'd had an answer for everything. I'd wanted to hear more. When had she started with Cannon? Had she been in their pocket all along? But she'd stormed out of my office, indignant. There was only one piece of the puzzle missing with Avery. Landon hadn't been able to track the payoff to her account. Landon swiped through various documents and photographs, showing me records of Gerald receiving large payments into an offshore account, on dates just after Cannon closed the 4 deals they'd stolen from under me. Landon had also had people search Gerald's home and recovered various electronic files stored in a safe, which were full of confidential details about the transactions Wolf Enterprises had been working on. Jesus! He's worked with us for years. He was so competent and professional. He'd be the last person I would have thought capable of something like that. That wasn't true. Avery was the last person I'd ever have thought would betray me. I might have known her for a fraction of the time I'd known Gerald, but I'd been certain I'd looked into her eyes and seen nothing but honesty and truth. Her selflessness was one of the things I'd liked most about her. The way she had such strong values. The way she'd sacrificed so much for those she cared about. I just thought I was one of those people. Apparently it had all been an act, a means to an end. Does that mean Anita is in the clear? I asked. Yes. That was an inheritance from her grandparents. They paid some before the sale of some real estate, and some after. I hadn't even known her grandparents had died. I liked to keep things professional, but my assistant should be able to tell me about things like that. But I'd have the chance to put that right. At least she hadn't been the leak. I'll have Gerald's pass cancelled and his desk cleared. I tipped my head back on the headrest. At least that's done. I'd expected it to feel more like a victory. Perhaps all my adrenaline had been used up completing the deal. But I wasn't elated or triumphant at catching the guy who'd threatened everything I'd worked for. Instead, I was hollow and grey inside. Avery's warmth had left me. I had only known her a few weeks, but she'd carved a place in me that was so deep and profound that I didn't feel like myself now I knew I'd never see her again. Was I so easily manipulated? I hadn't seen Gerald betraying me over the course of months, and I'd known that man years. Sat across a board table from him 1,000 times. Met his wife and kids. Why did Avery's betrayal feel bigger? The image of her smiling face, an expression I knew her other guests never saw, her long hair wrapped around my wrist, her panting little moans that went straight to my cock. I couldn't get any of it out of my head.
"You heard anything about Avery?"
I asked Landon. He shook his head.
"I told you that it would be a few weeks. I'm tracking her finances and her father's. The payment will show up."
"But if she was the leak, how did I manage to get Phoenix done? It still doesn't make sense."
"What do you care?"
I had no idea why I still cared. I'd completed the Phoenix deal and now owned the company I'd always dreamed of. I should feel 10 feet tall, but it felt as if I'd got to the summit of Everest and found the vista was nice and everything, but it wasn't that different to the view a couple 1,000 feet down. I don't know what I was expecting. A coronation? A key to the city? Yes, I'd outwitted Cannon, but the victory echoed, it was so hollow.
"We uncovered it, and now you'll never see her again."
I'd never understood women who stuck around while their husbands and boyfriends abused them physically and mentally. Why couldn't they just walk away? But I wasn't sure that if Avery was here right now, I wouldn't want to take her back to my flat, strip her naked and fuck her into next week. Despite watching the guilt on her face, hearing her excuses as she sat across from me, I'd never stopped wanting her. Had the last year of Cannon's attack on my business undermined more than my net worth? Had it chipped away at my judgment and instincts about people? I still wanted to believe Avery couldn't have betrayed me. I needed that final puzzle piece to slot into place before I gave up hope and accepted I'd opened up to someone who was just using me.
"I want to know, Landon. I want to see the money move.
She just didn't strike me as a woman who would..." Would what? Do anything to care for her brother? It was one of the things I'd liked most about her. She'd sacrificed her own life ambitions for her family. Taking money for their future wouldn't be so difficult.
"Like you said, everyone has their price," Landon said.
"Maybe," I said, "but I want to see it for myself. And can you track that ginger guy down? I'd like to talk to him."
"Jesus, that pussy must have been good."
"Don't be a dick. I want to know we were right about her. At the moment, she had an explanation for everything. As soon as that money hits, there are no more excuses that make sense. As you know, I'm all about the details. I'm ruthless, but I'm fair. And for the record, I'm going to kick your ass at squash." As soon as I saw the money in Avery's account, I would be able to close that chapter in my life and move on. Until then, I'd still wake in the middle of the night with the sensation of her hair between my fingers. Still see her every time I closed my eyes. I needed to see the price she'd been bought for, and then I could forget she ever existed.
Chapter 33. 3 months later. Avery. I plastered on my best fake smile as I stepped through the sliding doors of the salon and out onto the main deck, carrying two platters of appetizers, oysters on one, caviar on the other. It was the last service of the season, and I couldn't wait for it to be over and to wave goodbye to these guests tomorrow morning.
"You have a really fantastic body,"
the oldest male guest, Gus, said, looking me up and down as I leaned over the table to set down the platters. August followed with two additional bottles of champagne. I ignored him, my smile never faltering. The grin wasn't real, and so wasn't affected by rude, sexist comments. Usually I brushed them off and didn't give them a second thought, but there was something about this guy that made me want to knock him over the head with an empty bottle and toss him overboard. Maybe it was just because it had been a long season. The Mediterranean was one of the most beautiful places in the world, but 5 months was a long time at sea, whatever the surroundings.
"She really does,"
another man said, and he patted me on the ass. Were we in 1977? I wasn't an object to be leered at or an item for sale. Why did people with money think they could grab all the pussy they wanted? I moved away from the grabby hands and lecherous stares and guided August back through the doors to the galley.
"Ugh, why is it always the ugly ones that want a slice? If he was good-looking, I wouldn't mind. If Hayden Wolfe had ever grabbed my ass, I'd have enjoyed it. But this lot..."
She pretended to barf. I should have discouraged her, but I didn't care if the guests heard. Hayden Wolfe wouldn't have grabbed August's ass. He'd have been clear about what he wanted. I'd certainly found him impossibly persuasive and seductive, but he'd never taken anything from me that I hadn't given him willingly. The echo of his arms circled my waist, and my professional smile disappeared. I should have forgotten how it felt to be held by him. 3 months was long enough, but the ache for him was still there. It had settled under my skin, and I wasn't sure if it would ever leave.
"Avery, Avery, this is the captain. On the bridge, please."
Grateful for the interruption, I snatched the radio from my waist. "On my way," I replied, then turned to August. "Keep an eye on the table, but I don't want you going out there on your own, okay?"
"If you're with the captain for long, I'll go out with her,"
Neil said, knowing full well why I didn't want her to go alone. We really shouldn't need a buddy system, but that was yachting. I trailed upstairs, my feet heavy with fatigue, and knocked on the wheelhouse door.
"Come in,"
Captain Moss said.
"Those handsy guests behaving."
I shrugged. We both knew they weren't, but it wasn't so bad we were going to endanger our tip, which probably meant they had bought us. Maybe Hayden had been right and I did have a price. I did things I hated every day only for the money. It couldn't have been such a stretch for him to think I would have taken $150,000. The line had been clear to me, but maybe to him I was on the wrong side of the line every day I woke up on a yacht. "They're manageable." Captain Moss rolled his eyes and indicated for me to take a seat.
"You've had a good season. I know you didn't get a break in between charters, so it must have been tough on you."
"I'm looking forward to getting back to California, that's for sure." My flight was already booked. I wasn't even staying the night after the charter finished. I wanted to get the hell off the continent Hayden Wolfe was still on. Maybe then I'd be free of him. It had been months, but I still thought about him constantly. At times, I hated him for what he'd accused me of, for how he'd so easily thought me a liar. But other times, I just missed him, missed the way he held me, pressed his lips to my forehead. It was worse at night when I dreamed about him, about us, in London, having dinner, watching television in a real relationship. It had only ever been a fantasy, but it was one that had felt so very real.
"You've held this ship together with your professionalism and commitment this season, Avery. I'm proud to work with you. I'll start the Caribbean season in 3 weeks, and I'd like you back with me."
It took some effort, but I pulled my mouth into a smile. "That's really flattering, Captain Moss. I don't know if I can think about next season yet. All I wanted to do was get away from this boat where I'd fallen in love, and my life had morphed into more than being a yachty for a few weeks. The promise of a different life meant facing my daily reality was harder than usual. Loving Hayden had meant anything was bearable, but now, every time I opened my eyes, the daylight stung as if it were reminding me of how ridiculous I'd been to think there might be more for me, that I might build a life and a future with someone. I dared to love someone, and my heart was now permanently scarred. He frowned.
I've always seen you as a lifer when it comes to yachting. You thinking of switching things up?
Yachting had never been my passion, certainly not in the same way the sea was Captain Moss's. It had always been a means to an end. I'll be back. I think I just need a break. I had no choice but to return. I might not have chosen the life of a yachty, but it had chosen me. I'd be delighted to join you for the Caribbean season. I forced my smile a little wider, but I need a month off. He nodded.
You earned it. I was going to suggest we bring August and Skylar along with us, if you think they're up to it.
I'd spent the first part of the season distracted and wrapped up in my feelings for Hayden, but despite my lack of attention and the rude awakening we'd all gotten when Hayden left and 12 guests arrived for our second charter of the season, we'd gotten along famously. August had learned quickly, and Skylar had been loyal and hardworking, even if she hadn't found the rich man she was looking for. I'll ask them. The three of us make a good team.
Show me a good team, and I'll show you a good leader. Nice job, Avery.
I sucked in a deep breath. Thank you, sir. Tomorrow, I'd be on the way home to my family. I was ready to shut the chapter on the promise of love and happiness and to accept my future.
Chapter 34. Hayden. Landon had tracked down the guy in the photographs. Why the bloody hell he wouldn't meet us in London, I had no idea. I was paying him enough. It had been a nearly 2-hour drive out to Essex. I hoped it would be worth it. I bowed my head as I entered the dark, old-fashioned pub. An inglenook fireplace that had horse brasses pinned to its breast stood at one end and a bar at the other. This place hadn't seen a paintbrush in 1,000 years. I scanned the room and caught sight of my brother. I paused and slid my eyes to his companion sitting opposite him. The familiar stranger's hair didn't look so ginger in the dim light of the small windowed room. "Hello," I said as I pulled out a chair.
"Good, you're here,"
my brother said, stating the obvious. "I've got you a beer." I glanced at the 3 pint glasses on the table, filled with different shades of brown liquid. I hadn't had a beer since I'd left university. I preferred a good whiskey, but alcohol wasn't the thing I was focused on.
"You'll recognize Phil from the photographs. As I set you on the phone, he was a hired hand for Cannon, not an employee." "I work for the highest bidder, simple as that," Phil said. His accent was non-distinct, and he matched the tone, looked as if he would blend into a crowd.
Phil seemed ready to launch into an explanation of his life story, but my brother interrupted him.
"It seems he doesn't know a hell of a lot, so I'm not sure what use he's going to be."
When we'd uncovered Gerald's treachery, I'd ordered a full security check on all senior members of my staff. I was satisfied there would be no more leaks, but for me, it wasn't over. Not yet. And not because Cannon wasn't going to be held to account. I'd been clear I didn't want to press charges against them or Gerald. I wanted the rot cut out, and the focus back on being the best at what I did. I'd claimed my power back, kept my investors happy, and bought Phoenix. I wasn't out for revenge. The best way I could get my own back was by being successful, despite Cannon's best efforts to ruin me as they had my father. But it wasn't over. Not quite. We'd not managed to trace the payments into Avery's, or any of her family's, bank account. And if that money never showed up, I would always have a doubt in the back of my mind. I was sure I would replay our conversation, where I confronted her about the phone and the photographs again and again and again. It had been 3 months, but the memory was fresh as if it were yesterday. I was fighting an internal war, where I changed sides every time I thought back to that conversation. Should I have believed her? I needed certainty to shut down any memory I ever had of Avery Walker. As the money hadn't shown up, unless I confronted Cannon's board, who would simply deny the entire mess, then the only person who could confirm Avery's guilt was Phil. I needed closure, because thoughts of Avery Walker were haunting me.
I tried everything I could to bleach my mind of her, but despite the long hours, the booze, and training as if I was trying to make the Olympic team, I still yearned for her. I'd assumed being with other women would help, but for some reason I couldn't do it. Since leaving the yacht, I'd made do with my fist and some bad porn. I nodded. "Let's see," I told Landon. I wanted to hear exactly what had happened from the horse's mouth. I had nothing to lose at this point. "Phil, I'm going to pay you a lot of money, and in return, I want to hear about all your dealings with Cannon, directly or indirectly, and from the beginning. If I find out you've lied to me, or spared me the truth, or misled me in any way..." "Well," I said, glancing at my brother, "I know some very dangerous men. Let's leave it at that, shall we?" I'd never resorted to physical violence or even threats of physical violence before. Even at school, I always left that to my brother, but I'd never been so serious. Up until now, the evidence had been compelling but circumstantial. I wanted certainty when it came to Avery Walker. Phil shrugged. "Like I said, I'm a gun for hire. And like you said, you're paying me a lot of money." "Okay, go on," I said. "I've been working for the firm that put me on the Cannon job on and off since I left MI5. I'd done a few jobs for Cannon. They were good clients. It was easy work. Just surveillance and information gathering mainly."
"And they learned to trust you?" Landon asked.
"I guess. Then this job came along and they were offering good money to spend some time in the sun. What's not to like? They said it was surveillance and questioning. Nothing big."
He paused as if he were trying to recall the details.
"Did they give you a list of people to surveil?"
He shook his head.
"No. They told me to find your boat and report back to them. That was it at first. That took a few days because you weren't in the marina. And then I called in a few favors, got details of the crew on board. Avery Walker was the easiest target."
I winced as his thin lips curled around her name. I hated the sound of it coming from his mouth.
"She wasn't working for Cannon?" I asked.
He took a sip of his drink, and the few seconds' delay in his answer felt as if it lasted hours.
"No, it was my job to get her to talk. I thought it would be easy. I knew her family needed the money and that she sent most of her salary and tips home. I thought $5,000 would be enough. But not a chance.
$5,000 hadn't bought her. At least she tried to resist."
"So you didn't approach any other crew members at all? No deck crew? It was just Avery?" "No. I was convinced she'd break. Especially for so much money."
He picked up his pint and took a sip, as if we were discussing the latest Six Nations match.
"I can't believe she turned down that money. I've never offered so much to a source for so little. I mean, it was just the name of the company you were buying, and how much you were going to pay."
"You were surprised she didn't take the $5,000?
"No, the $150,000. That's what I got told to offer her."
He shook his head.
"It was a lot of money she walked away from just for a few bits of information. I wasn't asking her to plant listening devices or really do anything that would put her in danger."
She turned it down. I knew how much her family needed the money, how much it would have meant for her to have that amount of cash for her brother. She probably could have skipped a season or at least got a job back in Sacramento. Guilt churned in my stomach. What had I done?
"They were stunned when she didn't bite," he said, interrupting my thoughts. "I was surprised, especially as it kept getting better for us. Cannon pulled a few strings and had her brother's insurance coverage reassessed. Her brother's entitlements were cut. We thought she would have been desperate for the cash. I thought it was a perfect moment to make that final big offer. But she said no."
I leaned back and tried to take in what I'd just heard. Avery's brother, the person she worked so hard for, had given up her own dreams and aspirations to provide for, had had his health insurance cut because of me.
Her brother, her guilt about the accident, and her need for redemption were Avery's Achilles heel, and she'd still not sold me out.
But she still didn't take the money.
My heart began to thunder through my chest. I'd been right about her the first time. She'd not betrayed me. She'd protected me. I'd always known Cannon were lowlifes, and I'd been content to walk away from the immoral, illegal things they'd done in order to try to bury me. I'd been determined to take the high road, clear in my mind that my revenge would come with my success, despite them. What this guy was saying changed things. Now I wanted to bury them. I might not like it, but I understood that her telling some guy Phoenix's name in return for her brother's well-being would be a small price to pay. It had been an impossible situation for her.
Nope, not a penny. When she called me from the satellite phone, I thought I had her. I really did.
He shook his head in disbelief.
But she wanted to know who else I'd approached on the crew. Didn't even ask for more money. Just a flat-out no.
Could she really be that good? Would she sacrifice her brother for me? Everything he was saying rang true to me. The Avery he was describing was exactly the woman I knew. The woman I'd kissed on the upper deck while watching the fireworks. The woman who'd worked tirelessly to keep me happy, even when it wasn't her job, because that was her nature. She was kind and sweet and loyal, just as I'd always thought. She really was that good. And I'd thrown her away, assumed the worst, accused her of betraying me when really I'd been the one who betrayed her. I'd not believed in her. I'd not trusted myself. I was an idiot.
And that's it. There's nothing else. Phil shrugged. A couple of days later, Cannon cancelled the job.
That must have been when my acquisition of Phoenix had been announced.
I want to hear from you if you ever get another job offer from Cannon. I'll make it worth your while.
Phil tipped back the last of his pint and pushed out his chair, leaving me heavy with guilt and unsure of my next move.
What was all that about?
Landon asked when Phil left.
All what? I asked.
He'd known why we were here.
This whole conversation was about Avery. Are you still hung up on her or something? Surely she was just a convenient fuck.
I leaned back, staring out the window into the black, and let the dark wave of guilt wash over me. What had I done? We weren't just fucking.
What does that mean?
I wasn't sure what it meant. I just knew that between us, it had been different. The connection we had was inexorable. We'd proven that. I'd been drawn to her despite it being the most demanding time in my life, when all I'd worked for, all I'd become was on the line. And she'd risked her job, her redemption for me. And it had all worked out for me. I'd bought Phoenix, defeated Cannon, but our relationship had brought her only misery. I'd believed her guilty of a betrayal she wasn't capable of. Her being with me had ruined everything for her, yet I'd walked away with a bruised ego and an aching heart, and I thought I was the one badly off.
It means I fucked up.
There was plenty of evidence, Landon said. You were well within your rights to think she was selling secrets.
He was wrong. Avery had never shown herself to be the kind of person who would betray me.
I had no right whatsoever. She'd put her career on the line for me. If people had found out about us, she wouldn't have been able to get another job. Why would I think that after that she'd betray me? I must have lost my mind.
I thrust my hands through my hair, my body hot with panic.
What had I done? Jesus, you sound like this woman was really important to you.
I sighed, sliding down in my chair.
She was. Then go apologize.
I scoffed.
Oh, yeah, because it's that easy. Integrity and loyalty are at her very core, and I accused her of having neither. Landon winced. We all make mistakes. Even you, Hayden Wolfe.
You saying you do too?
He rolled his eyes.
Of course not. But if I did and I had a way of setting things right, I'd like to think that I would try.
I groaned, remembering our last conversation.
She'll never forgive me. I was nasty, spiteful. I just felt so...
Betrayed wasn't a strong enough word. Vulnerable was how I'd felt. But I wasn't about to say that out loud. Landon wouldn't understand.
I just thought things were different with her. I mean, we talked, shared stuff. I thought I knew her and I wanted her to know me.
Landon nodded and spared me the shit I'd assumed he'd give me.
Sounds a little out of character for a guy who divided women into two categories, those he worked with and those he shagged.
I cringed at his accurate reflection of my relationships with women before Avery. Avery had felt like a friend, a partner, a soulmate. She wasn't anyone to put in a category.
Yeah, Avery was different.
I had to do something, make it up to her. She turned down that money from Cannon only to have me turn on her. And now, because of me, her brother's insurance was fucked.
I'm going to need you to help me with some stuff. I don't know how Cannon managed to get to the insurance company, but I need to find a way of setting it straight.
I have her address in Sacramento, he said. It's just a private getaway.
Why would you want me to chase after this girl? I thought you didn't understand monogamy.
I don't, but it sounds to me like you have to have this girl.
He was right. My pull toward Avery was as strong as ever. It had never wavered, even when I suspected the worst of her. But I couldn't just turn up on her doorstep. I didn't even know if she'd be there, let alone if she'd agree to see me.
No, this is about paperwork. She suffered. Her brother suffered, and all because Avery was part of the crew on the yacht I chartered. I can't let that stand. She's done nothing wrong, and yet her family is bearing the brunt of being associated with me. This isn't about me getting what I want, even if I do want her. This is about me making things right for her and her family.
Landon grinned around his pint glass, and after taking a sip, set it down.
If you tell anyone I said this, I'll deny it.
But you're a decent guy, Hayden. I'm kind of proud you're my brother.
Landon was a war hero. He'd fought and sacrificed for his country. For him to be proud of me was beyond anything I could hope for.
I won't tell a soul, I replied, and clinked my glass against his.
I might be terrible at relationships with women, and I might have become a paranoid control freak. But my brother and I had something in common. We were men of action, and we didn't stop until we'd got what we wanted. I'd make things right with Avery. It was the least I could do.
Chapter 35. Avery. The bruises on my heart still ached as if I'd last seen Hayden yesterday. I'd expected Sacramento to revive me, to make me forget the weeks that had come before, but a month at home had passed too quickly, and I was dreading leaving for Miami later that day.
"Come over here and have breakfast with me and your brother before you go," my dad said.
I glanced over at them both. "Sure. Has the mail come yet?" My dad cocked his head to the countertop where a stack of mail lay unopened. "Dad!" Since I'd gotten back from France, I'd spent all of my free time on the internet, finding charities that supported people in our situation and talking to them about what had happened, writing to apply for grants from foundations and trusts, investigating what I could do to appeal the health insurance company's decision regarding my brother's care. I'd been busy, and it had started to pay off. Some donations were just a few $100, but yesterday we'd received a check for $5,000 from a sports injury charity. It wasn't going to go far, but it had given me hope, and more than anything, that was what I needed. My father had seemed content to accept what had happened, as if he knew the odds had never been in our family's favor,
knew that the house always won. He'd shrugged and done the best he could with what he had. That was his coping mechanism. Michael and I hadn't talked about it at all. The way I dealt with it was to try to fix it. It was who I was. I fixed things for people, and the $5,000 check yesterday was evidence I could fix this too. I grabbed the mail from the counter and dropped into a seat at the table, sorting through the envelopes. Most of them were junk.
"You want juice, honey?"
my dad asked as he held the jug over my glass. "Sure, thanks," I said, sawing my finger across the sealed top of a brown envelope. "You're going to have to check these when I'm gone. You know that, right? You can't leave it for me to come home to in 5 months. Some of them you need to respond to right away. Those you should just scan to me, and I'll deal with them." I unfolded the letter. I didn't need to read the line and a half of writing. Anything that didn't require at least two paragraphs was a no.
"I can email you on this boat you're going on, right?"
"Yes, and call me. I'll have my phone with me. It will be much better than last time." I wasn't sure it was the relief at being able to contact my father that made my shoulders sag, or if it was the thought that if I had my cell, my guest wasn't Hayden Wolfe. I tried not to think about him, but he was still there, haunting me at the edges of my smile as I settled back into Sacramento. And in that time just before I fell asleep, when I couldn't press down the memories of him anymore, I hoped that if I could block him out for long enough, eventually I wouldn't have to try, and he'd dissolve into a pot of bad decisions and might-have-beens. My rage had faded, at least. I couldn't be angry at him for his accusations. They'd hurt. They still hurt. But I understood it, and I deserved it. For a second, I'd been tempted, and it hadn't been how I felt about Hayden Wolfe that had stopped me. I just couldn't do that to my father or brother. Neither one of them would have forgiven me if they'd thought any money they'd received had been from a source like Cannon. It was hard enough for my dad to accept the checks that had been coming from charities and foundations since I'd started applying. He was a man of honor and principle, and I wouldn't sully his legacy by taking money for stolen secrets. I wanted to be worthy of calling him my father. My feelings for Hayden remained almost overwhelming whenever my heart and mind grew weak and let memories of him escape. There was no sign of them diminishing, but I kept telling myself it would happen. Surely thoughts of him would fade and weaken, and I wouldn't have to try so hard to keep them at bay. "That's weird. This one's to Michael," I said, pulling out a thick cream envelope from the pile. Most of the letters and applications I'd made had been in my father's name as next of kin. One or two had been in mine, but I hadn't made any in my brother's name. "Can I open it, Michael?" I asked. He shrugged, focused on his food rather than his mail, and I grinned and blew him a kiss. I flipped the envelope over and worked my thumb under the flap. No check, but it was 2 pages long. I flipped to the second page to see an application with boxes and dotted lines sprinkled down the page. They were asking for bank account details and addresses. That was weird. I turned back to the first page, glancing to the headed notepaper, Lichen Foundation. I couldn't remember writing to them, but I must have sent off 400 applications, so it was perfectly possible that I had just forgotten. I read it once all the way through, and then paused. I must have read it incorrectly. They were offering to pay Michael's physical therapy, for a full-time caregiver, and for any health insurance premiums. That couldn't be right. My pulse began to throb in my ears, and I started again from the top.
"I want you to eat something,"
my dad said. His voice sounded tinny and far away. "Hang on, Dad," I said, pressing the letter flat against the table and tracing the lines of typed text with my finger. I needed to read more carefully. I had to subdue the fluttering in my gut that was squealing that this letter was a winning lottery ticket. I'd been wrong. It wasn't what I thought. It wasn't just Michael's physical therapy, a full-time caregiver, and insurance premiums they wanted to pay. It was all and any costs associated with Michael's medical or occupational needs for the rest of Michael's life. Surely I had this wrong. This would mean that if Michael needed other things as he got older, or as my father got older, this charity was going to cover it. I flipped over the page. This couldn't be happening. I stood, vaguely aware of my chair falling back behind me.
"Avery, sit and eat something, please,"
my dad said. "Hang on a minute. I just need to check something."
When had I contacted these people? I grabbed the laptop, brought up my spreadsheet of applications I'd made, but I couldn't find anything. I typed it into Google. Nothing came up. Was this a scam? Would anyone be so cruel? Teddy, did you apply to any charities, or did anyone we know do that? For a flash, I wondered if my mother had had something to do with it, but of course she wouldn't have. We didn't exist to her anymore.
No, Avery, you know how I feel about that. It's hard enough seeing you do it, but I tell myself it's for Michael, but I don't like to.
I turned back to the computer and searched Google again. You ever heard of the Lichen Foundation? My dad chuckled, and my heart thudded against my rib cage. Was this a joke?
Lichen? Is this Dungeons and Dragons or something?
What are you talking about? I held up the letter. This charity is saying they'll pay Michael's medical bills, all of them, forever, but I don't remember applying to a Lichen Foundation. My dad froze.
All of his medical bills?
Yes. Do you know who they are? He shrugged, his brows drawn together as he strode over, took the paper from my hands, and read the letter himself.
Lichen is... I don't know. It was the name for a werewolf, I thought, but I guess it's just a surname.
Werewolf? Memories of Hayden burst through my mental barriers. It couldn't be him, right? He had no idea where we lived or that I'd applied for anything. I'd never told him that Michael's medical insurance had been changed and that his physical therapy had been cut. And he hated me. He thought I was a liar and a thief. Of course it wasn't him. I shook my head.
Call them.
My dad handed me back the letter.
There's a number on the letterhead.
I scrambled to pick up the phone. I had to confirm what they were offering was real. I punched in the numbers, chewing on the inside of my mouth. Lichen Foundation, Allison speaking. I took a deep breath and explained why I was calling. Yes, that's right, Allison said as I relayed the contents of the letter. You just need to fill in all the details. It might take 30 days for us to organize all the payments, but we'll back pay from the date of the letter. I pressed my lips together, trying to take in what she was saying. I swallowed. And this has no end date? That's right. It's for the rest of Michael's life. It was as if she'd unlocked a brace from around my chest, and suddenly there was more room to breathe. Thank you, I said. I just don't remember ever making the application, so it's a lot to take in. I understand, she replied. Other charities and third parties refer cases to us from time to time. That must be it. I nodded. I guess. I don't know what to say. Thank you so much. You're welcome. Just let us have the forms and we'll make all the necessary arrangements. I put the phone back down. My father's eyes were wide.
It wasn't a hoax?
I don't think so, I replied. I guess we fill out the forms.
That means you don't have to go to Miami,
he said. I'd never told my dad the only reason I did the yachting season was to take care of Michael, just like he never told me he didn't want to retire because it meant the cost of health insurance premiums would skyrocket. This donation gave us both hope for a different kind of future. I stood and pulled him into a hug. I still have to go to Miami. I've made a commitment. And anyway, I'd like to see this Lichen thing actually happen before I think about making any big changes. My whole life had been about working to care for my brother. If Michael was really going to be looked after, where did that leave me? My entire focus had been on making enough money to look after my family. If I didn't have that focus, I wasn't sure I knew who I was. I'd never allowed myself to think about what I was missing or how life might have been. I wasn't sure if I knew how to do that.
If this is really happening, Avery, then promise me you won't stay doing a job you don't like. Promise me you'll do what you want to do, wherever in the world, whatever that is.
I had no idea what I wanted. Hayden had been the only thing in my life I'd had just for me in 7 years. And to him, I was nothing, just some woman who'd betrayed him. My heart swelled at my father's desire to have me happy and at the thought of finally being able to do something for me. Although I was excited, I wouldn't let myself believe something so wonderful could be happening. I'd been there before. I'd thought Hayden and I would carve out a future together. Believing things could be different had caused me misery and disappointment. This time, I'd hold myself back, protect my heart until I'd seen the change it